야시다는 전에 브라자자는 전에 야문에 띠라 바늘차리야 야문에 띠라 바늘차리야 오라타마가 군사비하리 높이자나발라다 그리바라다리 야쇼다는 다나브라자 자나란드나 야무네티라 바나차리자요라다나다바 군사비하리 나발라다 그리바라다리 야쇼바난다나 브라자자나란자나 자미나티라 바나차리 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada ki jai, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Shivuru and Sri Gauranga. Narayanam Namaskritam. Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhirayet Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 22, The Orbits of the Planets. And under the request of the devotees, I will just do the whole chapter. So first, I will just read the verses without mentioning anything, just to complete the chapter, and then we will go back and see different points. There are some answers that will be, some questions that will be answered from Acharya Nista. That's nice. So I will go through the verses, purports, no Sanskrit, only the first verse. Hopefully we'll be okay with the time. I can go later. First I want to complete, and maybe then we can view the summary, and it will help us to, it will remind us of the verses that we read. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Agyananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Bien. Rajo Chacha Yat etat bhagavat adityasya merun drubamcha pradakshinena parikramato rasinam abhimukham prachalitam cha pradakshinam bhagavato pavarnitam amushyavayam katam anumimi mahiti. Translation. King Parikshit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, My dear Lord, you have already affirmed that the truth that the supremely powerful Sun God travels around Dhruvaloka with both Dhruvaloka and Mount Sumeru on his right. Yet, at the same time, the Sun God faces the signs of the zodiac and keeps Sumeru and Dhruvaloka on his left. How can we reasonably accept that the Sun God proceeds with Sumeru and Dhruvaloka on both his left and right simultaneously? Interesting. So this is the answer. Sri Sukadeva Goswami clearly answered. When a potter's wheel is moving and small ants located on that big wheel are moving with it, one can see that their motion is different from that of the wheel, because they appear sometimes on one part of the wheel and sometimes on another. Similarly, the signs and constellations with Sumeru and Dhruvaloka on the right move with the wheel of time, and the ant-like sun and other planets move with them. The sun and planets, however, are seen in different signs and constellations at different times. This indicates that their motion is different from that of the zodiac and the wheel of time itself. Third verse. The original cause of the cosmic manifestation is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. When great saintly persons, fully aware of the Vedic knowledge, offer prayers to the Supreme Person, he descended to this material world in the form of the sun to benefit all the planets and purify fruitive activities. He divided himself into 12 parts and created seasonal forms, beginning with spring. In this way, he created the seasonal qualities such as heat, cold, and so on. Text 4. According to the system of 4 varnas and 4 ashrams, people generally worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, who is situated as the Sun God. With great faith, they worship the Supreme Personality as the Super Soul, according to ritualistic ceremonies handed down in the 3 Vedas, such as Agnihotra and similar higher and lower fruitive acts, and according to the process of mystic yoga. In this way, they very easily attain the ultimate goal of life. Text 5. The Sun God, who is Narayan or Vishnu, the soul of all the worlds, is situated in outer space between the upper and lower portion of the universe. Passing through 12 months on the wheel of time, the sun comes in touch with 12 different signs of the zodiac and assumes 12 different names according to those signs. The aggregate of those 12 months is called a Samvatsara, or an entire year. According to lunar calculations, 2-4 nights, one of the waxing moon and the other of the waning, form 1 month. That same period is 1 day and night for the planet Pitri Loka. According to stellar calculations, a month equals 2¼ constellations. When the sun travels for 2 months, a season passes, and therefore the seasonal changes are considered part of the body of the year. Text 6. Thus, the time the sun takes to rotate through half of outer space is called an ayana, or its period of movement, in the north or in the south. Text 7. The sun god has 3 speeds, slow, fast, and moderate. The time he takes to travel entirely around the spheres of heaven, earth, and space at these 3 speeds is referred to by learned scholars by the fine names Samvatsara, Parivatsara, Idatvatsara, Anuvatsara, and Vatsara. Purport. According to solar astronomical calculations, each year extends 6 days beyond the calendar year. And according to lunar calculations, each year is 6 days shorter. Therefore, because of the movements of the sun and moon, there is a difference of 12 days between the solar and lunar years. As the Samvatsara, Parivatsara, Idatvatsara, Anuvatsara, and Vatsara pass by, 2 extra months are added within each 5 years. This makes a 6th Samvatsara, but because that Samvatsara is extra, the solar system is calculated according to the above 5 names. Text 8. Above the rays of the sun shine by a distance of 100,000 yojanas, which means 800,000 miles, is the moon, which travels at a speed faster than that of the sun. In 2 lunar fortnights, the moon travels through the equivalent of a Samvatsara of the sun. In 2¼ days, it passes through a month of the sun. And in 1 day, it passes through a fortnight of the sun. Purport. When we take into account that the moon is 100,000 yojanas, or 800,000 miles, above the rays of the sunshine, it is very surprising that the modern excursions to the moon could be possible. Since the moon is so distant, how space vehicles could go there is a doubtful mystery. Modern scientific calculations are subject to one change after another, and therefore, they are uncertain. We have to accept the calculation of the Vedic literature. These Vedic calculations are steady. The astronomical calculation made long ago and recorded in the Vedic literature are correct even now. Whether the Vedic calculation or modern ones are better may remain a mystery for others. But as far as we are concerned, we accept the Vedic calculation to be correct. Text number 9. When the moon is waxing, the illuminating portion of it increases daily, thus creating day for the demigods and night for the pitas. When the moon is waning, However, it causes night for the demigods and day for the Pitas. In this way, the moon passes through each constellation of stars in 30 muhurtas, an entire day. The moon is the source of nectarian coolness that influences the growth of food grains, and therefore the moon god is considered the life of all living entities. He is consequently called Jiva, the chief living being within the universe. Text 10. Translation: because the moon is full of all potentialities, it represents the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The moon is the predominating deity of everyone's mind, and therefore the moon god is called Manumaya. He is also called Anamaya because he gives potency to all herbs and plants. And he is called Amritamaya because he is the source of life for all living entities. The moon pleases the demigods, pitas, human beings, animals, birds, reptiles, trees, plants, and all other living entities. Everyone is satisfied by the presence of the moon. Therefore, the moon is also called Sarvamaya, all-providing. Text 11. There are many stars located 200,000 yojanas above the moon. There are many stars located 200,000 yojanas, which means 1,600,000 miles above the moon. By the supreme will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are fixed to the wheel of time, and thus they rotate with Mount Sumeru on the right, their motion being different from that of the sun. There are 28 important stars headed by Abhijit. Purport: the stars referred to herein are 1,600,000 miles above the sun, and thus they are 4 million miles above the earth. Text 12. Some 1,600,000 miles above this group of stars is the planet Venus, which moves at almost exactly the same pace as the sun according to Swift, slow and moderate movements. Sometimes Venus moves behind the sun, sometimes in front of the sun, and sometimes along with it. Venus nullifies the influence of planets that are obstacles to rainfall. Consequently, its presence causes rainfall, and it is therefore considered very favorable for all living beings within this universe. This has been accepted by learned scholars. Text 13. Mercury is described to be similar to Venus, in that it moves sometimes behind the sun, sometimes in front of the sun, and sometimes along with it. It is 1,600,000 miles above Venus, or 7,200,000 miles above Earth. Mercury, which is the sun of the moon, is almost always very auspicious for the inhabitants of the universe. But when it does not move along with the sun, it forebodes cyclones, dust, irregular rainfall, and waterless clouds. In this way, it creates fearful conditions due to inadequate or excessive rainfall. Text 14. Situated 1,600,000 miles above Mercury, or 8,800,000 miles above Earth, is the planet Mars. If this planet does not travel in a crooked way, it crosses through each sign of the zodiac in 3-4 nights, and in this way travels through all 12, one after another. It almost always creates unfavorable conditions in respect to rainfall and other influences. Text 15. Situated 1,700,000 miles above Mars, or 10,400,000 miles above Earth, is the planet Jupiter. How do you pronounce Jupiter? Which travels through one sign of the zodiac within the period of a Parivatsara. If its movement is not curved, the planet Jupiter is very favorable to the Brahmanas of the universe. Text 16. Situated 1,600,000 miles above Jupiter, or 12,000,000 miles above Earth, is the planet Saturn, which passes through one sign of the zodiac in 30 months and covers the entire zodiac circle in 30 anuvatsaras. This planet is always very inauspicious for the universal situations. Last text. Situated 8,800,000 miles above Saturn, or 20,800,000 miles above Earth, are the seven saintly sages, who are always thinking of the well-being of the inhabitants of the universe. They circumvallate the supreme abode of Lord Vishnu, known as Dhruva Loka, the pole star. Purport. Srila Madhava Acharya quotes the following verse from the Brahmanda Purana. Jnanandatmano Vishnu Sishumara Vapushyata Urdvaloke Shusavyapta Aditya Dhyastadashrita. Lord Vishnu, who is the source of knowledge and transcendental bliss, has assumed the form of Sishumara in the seven heavens, which is situated in the topmost level of the universe. All the other planets, beginning with the sun, exist under the shelter of this Sishumara planetary system. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 22nd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Orbit of the Planets. Maybe if we have the microphone, can I request one devotee to read the summary? And then we...
In this chapter, the orbits of the planets are described. According to the movements of the moon and other planets, all the inhabitants of the universe are prone to auspicious and inauspicious situations. This is referred to as the influence of the stars. The sun god, who controls the affairs of the entire universe, especially in regard to heat, light, seasonal changes, and so on, is considered an expansion of Narayana. He represents the three Vedas, Rig, Yajur, and Sama, and therefore he is known as... Rig, Yajur, and Sama, and therefore he is known as Trayimaya, the form of Lord Narayana. Sometimes the sun god is also called Surya Narayana. The sun god has expanded himself in 12 divisions, and thus he controls the 6 seasonal changes and causes winter, summer, rain, and so on. Yogis and karmis following the Varnashram institution, who practice Hatha or Ashtanga Yoga, or who perform Agnihotra sacrifices, worship Surya Narayana for their own benefit. The demigod Surya is always in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. Residing in outer space, which is in the middle of the universe, between Bhuloka and Bhuvaraloka, the sun rotates through the time circle of the zodiac, represented by 12 rasis, or signs, and assumes different names according to the sign he is in. For the moon, every month is divided into 2 fortnights. Similarly, according to solar calculations, a month is equal to the time the sun spends in one constellation. 2 months constitute 1 season, and there are 12 months in a year. The entire area of the sky is divided into 12 halves, each representing an ayana, the course traversed by the sun within a period of 6 months. The sun travels sometimes slowly, sometimes swiftly, and sometimes at a moderate speed. In this way, it travels within the 3 worlds, consisting of the heavenly planets, the earthly planets, and outer space. These orbits are referred to by great learned scholars by the names Samvatsara, Parivatsara, Idavatsara, Anuvatsara, and Vatsara. The moon is situated 100,000 yojanas above the rays of the sunshine. Day and night on the heavenly planets and Pitraloka are calculated according to its waning and waxing. Above the moon, by a distance of 200,000 yojanas, are some stars, and above these stars is Sukragraha, Venus, whose influence is always auspicious for the inhabitants of the entire universe. Above Sukragraha, by 200,000 yojanas, is Buddhagraha, Mercury, whose influence is sometimes auspicious and sometimes inauspicious. Next, above Buddhagraha, by 200,000 yojanas, is Angaraka, Mars, which almost always has an unfavorable influence. Above Angaraka, by another 200,000 yojanas, is a planet called Brihaspati Graha, Jupiter, which is always very favorable for qualified brahmanas. Above Brihaspati Graha is the planet Sanaishchara, Saturn, which is very inauspicious. And above Saturn is a group of seven stars occupied by great saintly persons who are always thinking of the welfare of the entire universe. These seven stars circumambulate Dhruvaloka, which is the residence of Lord Vishnu within this universe.
Okay. So there are many things in this chapter. I want to make a claim first that this is very technical, and probably I won't have the answers to many technical questions. I have a little time to research a little bit, I've been in some letter of Srila Prabhupada regarding these topics, and something about the question of Acharanista, of the sun being described as a Surya Narayan, or expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these will be the main things. First, I just will mention the division of the chapter, how the chapter is divided in topics. So first, in the first part, we have the question of Pariksit Maharaj about how can the sun keep Sumeru, which is the mountain, to its left and right at the same time. Seems quite strange. And then Sukadeva Goswami answers the question with the analogy of the wheel potter. Then the next section is the glories of the sun god and time calculation, which is in this section where the sun is mentioned as an expansion, which last time when I was asked about that question, I answered that not is not considered an expansion based on a chart made of the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam that are explaining all the different incarnations of the Lord. So I didn't see the sun there, but then I was looking, and I was referring to a letter of Srila Prabhupada in which he said that when we worship the sun god, a Savitur in the Mantra Gayatri. And we are worshipping the sun god because he's the source of all living entity, of life in earth, in the universe. But the real source of life is Krishna. Therefore we address him as Krishna. And then there was another purport of Srila Prabhupada in which he said, Surya Atma Venusa no pasyaha. The actual life and soul of all living entities within this universe is the sun. He is therefore upasya, worshipable. We worship the sun god by chanting the Gayatri mantra. Om bur bhuva swak tak savitur varenyam bhargo devasya dimahi. Surya is the life and soul of this universe, and there are innumerable universes for which a sun god is the life and soul, just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the life and soul of the entire creation. So this is a proper explanation. And then in a letter to a disciple, I read the other day, he mentions, The meaning of this first mantra is I meditate on the Sun God who is maintaining the three worlds. Savitur is the name of the Sun God, but the greatest Savitur is Krishna. Therefore, it is meditation on Krishna, who is the master of all cosmic manifestations. So these are the declaration of Srila Prabhupada regarding the worshipping of the Sun God in by Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And the Sun God is always put under, not in capital letter, so it was, that's are my doubts. But then, as Acharyanista mentioned, in this chapter, the Sun God is mentioned as an expansion of the Supreme Lord. We can read the verse. So I was looking for another references, and I found a reference from Jiva Goswami, in which he said that Srimad Bhagavatam confirmed that the Sun God as a deity, as a presiding deity of the sun, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, which we don't have Prabhupada, but Srila Prabhupada in this canto, in the chapter 11. And I will read that, and very interesting. Maybe. So thank you, Acharyanista, for holding that question, because it helped me to investigate more and clear my misconception, and don't give misconception to others. But I'm just taking from the Bhagavatam. So here it is said that there are actually, we read that the Sun God is dividing, his will divides the year, the sun year, in 12 months. And here in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that in each month there is a different Sun God, a different personality, a different demigod. At the same time, it is said that the Supreme Lord is an expansion, so that these personalities are function as an expansion of Narayana. But they always are with, not with capital letters. So the BBT didn't put, when he puts Sun God, doesn't write in capital letter, which give us, I mean, probably this is, they don't want us to confuse. We are not worshiping the sun, actually, like as the Mayas, for example, or the Incas. At the same time, we understand that it's an expansion of Narayan, or we can say that the sun, also when we worship the sun to the Gayatri, we are worshiping Krishna, actually. But we don't consider directly Krishna, as we would say with expansion, like personal expansion, like Nishinhadev, Lila avatars, or other expansion of the Lord, like the Mahavishnu, etc. So this is a verse. It's Savanaka Rishi and Sutta Goswami now at the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 11. Savanaka asked Sutta Goswami to describe about the features of the seven associates of the Sun God that he exhibited during each month, their names and activities. And he said these associates of the Sun God who serve the Lord are personal expansions of the Supreme Personality Hari in his feature as the presiding deity of the sun. So then Sutta Goswami goes answering that in each month there is a different Sun God. And it's interesting the personalities that are there. Like, for example, there are many months that are called Madhu, Madhva, Sukra, Suchi. In the month of Suchi, the Sun God is Varuna. Then in the month of Navas is Indra. It's called Indra. Doesn't say anything, there is no purports. Also doesn't explain, is it the same Indra or not the same Indra, so I cannot say. Navasya is the month of Navasya, there is the name of Vivaswam, which we know in Bhagavad Gita that Lord Krishna gave the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to Vivaswam. So this is the sun god that we know in this period of time. Then we have the month, there is the month of Tapas, Tapasui, Sahas, Pushya, Isha, and in the last month, Urja, the name is called Vishnu. But there is also no purport regarding our explanation if that refers to Vishnu as Narayan. At the end of this section, this is the verse that confirms the expansion. This, all these personalities are the opulent expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, in the form of the Sun God. The deities take away all, well, this is another thing. So, this is what is in the 12th canto. And this is the last word, that there are all these demigods, actually, are the opulent expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then there is another one devotee asked me about the, I think Alex, about the Valakilyas, the 60,000 sages that are the size of the tongue. About if they were really traveling with the sun god, because the sun god is going sometimes very fast. If they are actually traveling, or the sun god is America Paramakaruna, so I don't know. Or the sun god is stopping there, whatever. It's a technical question, but in this section of the 12th canto, it's explained that. And it is explained that these Valakiyas are traveling in front of the sun god, so they are going very fast sometimes. There are three speed, no? Moderate, and slow, and fast, the sun. So these sages and also Apsaras and Gandharvas are there praying, glorifying the sun. So this is what I have to share. I'm not going too much understanding because I really don't want to speculate. So I'm just giving the facts regarding how do we take as an expansion, because sometimes we heard in Srimad Bhagavatam expansion of the Lord, and we're really confused. How the sun god is really, when we say Surya Narayan, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead residing as a deity, or are the different demigods changing and are empowered by the Lord, and we have to consider them as an expansion of whatever? It comes, and I didn't make more research, and I couldn't ask any senior devotee. I would like to ask Ramapada Swami, perhaps, why he can give some clarification. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam said that this is an expansion of Lord Narayana. And there are 12 different sun gods throughout his solar, during one day of Brahma, and they are repeating. Every monk has a particular sun god. Then, so this was one topic. Next, then from the verse 8 to 10, there is the movements and glories of the moon. And the last verses, 11 to 17, are the description and movements of the stars above moon. And you know, there were many numbers and distance about sun and in the earth and the different planets. It's mentioned Jupiter, Mercury, etc. All these descriptions make many devotees wonder, sometimes even shake their faith, because we place from because of our education, more faith, scientific, modern scientific explanation of the universe, which are theories also. Somehow to say that there is a chariot and the sun is traveling in an academic field may be cause of laughing, perhaps, for some professor. They say how you can believe that. So it may be for a devotee is not like that, because he knows about the Veda, he has faith in the Vedas, and he knows that our experience is very limited. Pralayananda Swami, he gave some lectures on these verses, and he just read all the verses also. But then he explained that all this explanation of the scientific model of the universe are not practical for our life, from the scientific. And we don't have a way to prove the explanation of the Bhagavatam, either the explanation of the scientist. So it's based faith of whose source you trust more. Because it's not verifiable, this section, Srimad Bhagavatam. I mean, we don't have the one measure all the distance. So I will read Srila Prabhupada, some Srila Prabhupada anecdotes on these topics by Sasarupa Maharaj in a book. It's a wonderful book, has many years now, from 1996, called Prabhupada Appreciation. He presents different ways that we can appreciate Srila Prabhupada. For example, just to appreciating Srila Prabhupada in Parampara, that's one. Another is how we can please Srila Prabhupada. And it talk about topic like it's only through book distribution or it's only through deity worship, like, because Prabhupada had many statements how we can please him. Then appreciating teaches that bear Srila Prabhupada stamp. They have to do with the mood and mission of Prabhupada, a specific thing that Prabhupada brought to the within the Hare Krishna movement that are not particular from other Gaudiyas and Pralayas, not even from the Gaudiya mat, like changes or details that Prabhupada introduced, like ladies worshipping the deities in the temple, and particular aspect in his preaching, like his very strong position against the scientific not all the scientists, but Prabhupada was against the claim that life comes from matter. It's a stamp of Srila Prabhupada's preaching. So it describes different aspects of Srila Prabhupada's preaching, organized ISKCON. Then there is appreciating the Bhaktivedanta purport and summary studies like Nectar of Devotion and Krishna book. There are nice explanations there, like some people used to claim that the Prabhupada's purports are all similar and Prabhupada repeats many things in his purports, but in this book is explained in a very, very nice analogy that in the same way that people who are not, doesn't have a very good musical education, when they hear classic music, they think that it's all the same, Mozart, Beethoven, or even back then from different periods, they say, oh, it's all the same. But those who are educated in music, they can distinguish. Even from all the symphony of Beethoven, they will distinguish everyone, and they will see that it's very different from each other, and each composer is different from each other. So in the same way, he explained how Purport and Srila Prabhupada and Srimad Bhagavatam are different from each other, if you study carefully. But they go like on a spiral, like always bringing topics from that he mentioned before and bring it then in a new angle, and then bring it more. But they are really different from Chaitanya Charitamrita, for example, purports, in which Prabhupada puts a lot of experience that he's having with ISKCON, especially in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and connecting them with the pastime of Lord Chaitanya. And then Bhagavad Gita has another specific also humor in the purport that distinguish them from the Srimad Bhagavatam purport. And among purport of Bhagavad Gita also we know they are very different. But for some people who are not very well versed in proper purport, they say that this is all the same. So in this way this book is explaining different things, avoiding offenses to Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON, service in separations. It's a nice, very nice book for devotees to read. And finally, there is a part called Controversial Teachings, and this is what I'm going to read in section. Okay, the Bhagavatam is an authentic book of knowledge, and learned sages have searched its pages and been satisfied with its answer for thousands of years. This is the method of deductive reason faith in a pure authority. Prabhupada said that we cannot live poor by deduction and induction and be satisfied. It is beyond our ability to verify the words of either the Vedas or the scientists, so we have to determine which version is likely to be free of mistakes. The modern scientists are conditioned souls, like ourselves, whereas the great acharyas, who unanimously accept the Bhagavatam as fact, are all liberated. By seeing our own intelligence come under the sway of the four defects of material illusion, we can understand that the materially motivated scientists are subject to the same illusions. But we can safely repose our faith by trusting the scripture and the path of Mahajans. Our attachment to Western scientific authority is actually a prejudice, bias, from our conditioning. Prabhupada cautioned the devotees about this when instructing them to build a Vedic planetarium that now is being built. Everything is inconceivable, he said. Don't be puffed up by your so-called education. It has no value. But this prejudice is tenacious. Then it clings to our minds and continues to sound like truth. And it can persuade us to reject the authority of the Vedas in favor of modern science. If we can understand that we should not reject Vedic authority so as to become independent in our own thinking, as shown by the version of the scientists, we can begin to eradicate our misconceptions. When Tamal Krishna Maharaj pointed out to Srila Prabhupada that the Srimad Bhagavatam explanation didn't agree with them around the earth, Prabhupada said, "You are prejudiced. They have cheated about going to the moon. So how we can believe them?" That's the Prabhupada's end quote. Then, also when Purushottama doubted Prabhupada insisting that they did not go to the moon, Prabhupada said, "I can understand how he didn't believe me, but how could he doubt the Vedas?" A disciple we mentioned many times, his mind crashed after listening to the Srila Prabhupada and put attention to the man going to the moon. He wasn't very impressed. And then later on he left the movement. So scientific issues in general tend to be related. Devotees like Saraputta Prabhupada have made extensive presentations of the Vedic version in scientific terms, and the world can be studied to get a better understanding. Prabhupada wanted the scientists within ISKCON to confront the issues, but he also warned them to remain faithful to the Bhagavatam version. So this is a letter of Srila Prabhupada. Regarding detail of the universe, be satisfied by reading only Bhagavatam. What is the use of reading other books? You are not going there. Simply keep faith that whatever we describe, that is a fact. After all, we are insignificant creatures in the universe. That's true, isn't it? So whether you take to modern scientists or Sukadeva Goswami, it is inconceivable. It is best to keep the faith in Sukadeva Goswami, because actually our only business is to go back home, back to Godhead. So whether Sukadeva Goswami or the modern scientists are right, it is nothing interesting to us. We want to go back home, back to Godhead. Yantimam Yajinopimam. So then Sasarupa Maharaj go on. Logic and scientific support may be used as tools to both understand and preach on these difficult issues, using the jargon of the scientific community as a way to present Krishna consciousness in an authoritative way to persons who lack complete faith in the scriptures. Prabhupada wanted scientific support for his statements. He asserted the Vedic statement a fact, not theories that absolutely require proof from the scientist. But if Vedic knowledge is presented in the language of science, it will be more acceptable to the mass of people. As Vaishnavas, we accept the deductive process of knowledge, that is, we accept the authority of Krishna as spoken in the Vedas as passed down through the parampara. But Western training is different. We are taught to question authority, although we are forced by our limitation to accept all kinds of authorities. We are advised to hypothesize and then meddle through the realm of so-called knowledge, trying to stay fixed on the goal of our research in order to prove our speculations. That is the inductive method of knowledge, and it can take eons to answer even the simplest question, such as, who am I? Taken to its extreme, a person dedicated to inductive reasoning would be starting at zero in every field of knowledge. He knows nothing for certain until he has gained the experience of his own mind and senses. Actually, this universe is a chintya, inconceivable. Certainly, Krishna and the activities of the spiritual world are inconceivable. According to the Mahabharata, inconceivable subject matters is not debatable. Even scientists accept that there is little sense in arguing about the qualities or functions of inconceivable nature. Krishna consciousness is simple for those who are simple and difficult for the crook. When we hear description of inconceivable, we think, I don't understand all this. Perhaps by Krishna's grace, it will one day be revealed to me. If he desires, in any case, let me love this inconceivable Lord and serve his devotees. As we practice bhakti yoga, our faith will grow and our understanding will increase. The crook heart will think that Krishna's pastimes are impossible, and for him they will remain so. Simple devotees are actually more intelligent than the scientists because they have understood the main point. I am lower than the grass on the street. Thus, they repose their love, faith, and trust in the source of knowledge, understanding that without the Lord's mercy, they can never see beyond the curtain of the three modes of material nature to understand the mysteries of Krishna's energy. That is real intelligence, as taught by Srila Prabhupada. So this is an excerpt from, I think it was, it's interesting. Hare Krishna, welcome. So we have a few minutes, if there are any questions.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your explanation. Thing is that here Srila Prabhupada explained that in his purport, no? Text number, and he categorically, he repeatedly said that the scientists, this modern scientists, they have not gone to the moon. Yeah? Because according to our Vedic calculation, moon planet is 100,000 above Ozonus, above the sun signs. So how craft can go such a distance?
Yeah, that's proper.
Yeah, that's
in few days.
Yeah. So here again question is coming, then what is this planet like the satellite, we can say the satellite, this moon linear to the earth is a satellite, it's not real moon. The real moon is there above 100,000s, above the sun signs. So which is the, you know, real moon god, you know, is described as Amritamaya and everything, you know. So
can you clarify what you are saying at the last point about it?
Last part is, my question is, this is not the real moon, which the scientists are
seeing.
Yeah.
Who is saying that?
Hmm?
Who is saying that? That the moon that we are seeing,
yeah,
that is not the moon, the real moon. Who said that?
According to our Bhagavatam and Prabhupada also stated.
To the Bhagavatam?
I Prabhupada stated also that
in here, you are saying that in here, Prabhupada is saying that the moon that we see is not the moon. I want to clarify because I'm understanding from you.
And the thing is that the real moon is 100,000 yojanas, like even 800,000 miles.
Yeah, but this is the same moon that we see. That's the proper reference to the same moon that we are seeing. And the Bhagavatam is giving a different distance that the modern scientists are giving. So that's why Prabhupada said the moon that we are talking about is far away, but it's the same moon that we see every day. I never understood that there are two. I can read again.
No. Thing is, my clear and thing is that the moon which is near to our earth is not the real moon, according to Bhagavatam and according to Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada, when they said no, they have landed in the moon, Prabhupada said it is not possible to go there. You understand? That means this is the satellite. This moon which we see is very near to the earth, is a satellite of earth. It's not the real moon.
I heard the Prabhupada or the devotees to the Prabhupada is claiming that this is not the moon. But Prabhupada is saying that if they actually went to some place, it wasn't really the moon where we were. Sometimes he explained that maybe Ketu is another planet, which is a planet that you cannot, is not visible. It's called an invisible planet. And Rahu and Ketu, one of those. One Prabhupada mentioned that if they went to a place, because the description that they were given doesn't match with the description of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's one of the things, but I haven't heard of this being a different moon. Here it is explained. When we take into account that the moon is 100,000 yojanas or 800,000 miles above the rays of the sunshine, it is very surprising that the modern excursion to the moon could be possible. Yeah, that could be possible because it's very far away. Since the moon is so distant, space vehicles could go. Modern scientific calculations are subject to one chain after another, because sometimes they say one thing and later on they do more research and they change. So, and therefore they are uncertain. We have to accept the calculations of the Vedic literature. The Vedic calculations are steady. The astronomical calculations made long ago and recorded in the Vedic are correct even now. So that Papa doesn't say that there is another moon. He just is explaining that the moon is considered far away. Sada Puta Prabhu, he make a video with Tuta Karma about the sacred of the universe, and they give an explanation that it can be understood by modern scientists about how the moon can be so far away from the Vedic perspective. So you can go through that. So this claim of Srila Prabhupada, maybe for many, especially Americans, I would say the man went to the moon. It may be like, oh, what he's saying, this man here. However, Prabhupada is giving two considerations, but he supports more the fact that they didn't go. He has his reasons, taking in consideration for the Srimad Bhagavatam and the distance. And nowadays, even there are some controversial videos by the BBC and others that they claim that actually they didn't go to the moon. I'm not taking side on that, but there are not, it's not Prabhupada. What's Prabhupada challenged the first day he saw the man going to the moon, because he didn't see the description that matching with the Bhagavatam. But nowadays, there are many people who said that all this was something motivated by politics and the competition between Russia and US. That's what they say. I'm not touching on that. But there are, I mean, Prabhupada is not the only person who is saying that. He's taking another argument, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam. But there is one moon, we're referring to the same moon, but the distance is before. So, yes, there will be, like we were reading, there may be, regarding the structure of the universe, some difference. But Prabhupada's claim is that the most important thing is that we have few years for living here in this planet, and we have to find out the meaning of life. And in that, is the Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us verifiable knowledge that we can practice every day as we are doing, and we can have personal experience, and through that personal experiences, our faith and trust in Vedic knowledge increases, and at the same time, our life improves, both in quality, either materially and spiritually, because the Vedas teach us how to feed our body properly, and also they teach us how to relate with others properly, and finally they teach us how to relate with the Supreme Lord properly. So in this way, it's a holistic presentation and tool for human beings, and this is the most important aspect of the Vedas that we are taking and we trust. So Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you.